Right on. Thanks so much, Nathan. It was kind of fun. I got this text message from him saying, you know, oh, my wife's has this major issue. She's got to have her gallbladder out, you know, and I was wondering, you know, would you be willing to come speak? And I'm all excited, like, yeah, that's great. And I'm thinking, wait, I can't be so excited. You know, his wife's having a major issue right now. Be like, no, that's terrible. And sure, yeah, I'd love to speak. It's a great joy of mine because with UCB Radio, it's United Christian Broadcasters, if you're wondering what the UCB stands for. And it's all about that. It's about bringing people together, that union of people who follow Jesus across lots of different churches and parachurch ministries all across a region, coming all together in one statement. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in God come to earth as one of us, who laid down his life for us, so we can experience real life, and we can be with him forever. That's the message that we get to join together. So it's Christian. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about him. And our particular avenue that we get to promote, and there's lots of avenues, is in broadcasting. So we work in radio. We have print media and some other stuff online and whatnot. So we do stuff that encourages people in faith day by day through whatever form of media that we can get our hands on. So that's who we are, and it is really cool that we get to be a support to the church and to parachurch ministries, that we get to help bring them together rather than just playing music. Like, some people wonder, perhaps, maybe this wasn't you, but perhaps wonder, like, can't you just take, like, an iPod shuffle, put some good tunes on it, hit play, and, like, hook it up to a transmitter and be done and just go home? Like, what's with all the other complicated stuff you're trying to do? And it's because we have this incredible opportunity, because we are a voice to thousands of people across our city and in other cities in Canada, we get to be a voice bringing Christians together, bringing people together around incredible things happening, like the wonderful events happening here in the summertime and other times of the year. We get to help promote those and bring people together. And like the Hope Rally, which you guys have probably heard a lot about. Yes? Anyone heard about the Hope Rally yet? A few people? Awesome. Yeah, so we're totally excited to be able to be a support for something like that, to help make that happen. And so right now, some exciting things that are happening as well is this Wednesday, I'll be going to Nipigon to chat with some folks there who are going to be helping to bring UCB Radio to Nipigon. We got all the licensing approvals done. We got the location secured and all the rest. So now we're just going to be connecting with the people who are going to be helping make it happen in their community in Nipigon. So that's going to be really fun this week. Some of you might be aware we're in the middle of our spring one-by-one fundraiser on the air. So, yeah, if you've heard our radio in the last week, you'll know. It's everywhere. It's going really well. I just got an email this morning from our operations director saying that Thunder Bay is doing awesome in this fundraiser. So that's really exciting. But then after this fundraiser is over, because I don't know if you're aware, like, we're actually in currently five main centers in Canada, one of them being Thunder Bay, and we are going to be adding on Fort McMurray in just like a couple weeks. Like, they're going to be like on the air with joining with the same kind of same music, the same DJs, like all that with us in a couple weeks. And so we're really excited about seeing that happening. We didn't want to start them before our fundraiser because that could be really weird, you know. Just come on the air and fundraiser, you know, in your face. So figure, okay, give them a little time, you know. They'll get it in the fall. It'll be all good. So it's exciting being a part of this ministry, and it's exciting to be able to be with you here this morning and share something that God's been putting on my heart. And so what I get to share with you this morning is something that God has been deeply convicting me about, and actually not just convicting me about. I've been convicted about this for years, like decades even. But just recently, for some reason, he chose to open up this one scripture to me in a way that actually is allowing me to have victory in this area like never before. Like, I'm so excited about it that I'm desperate to want to share it. And it's the area of my life. Actually, I'm not going to tell you what it is quite yet. Let's start with something else. A story. It was actually almost a year and a half ago that this story took place. I was asleep, and I had a grand mal seizure. I no longer was able to control my body. I was no longer able to control my swallowing, nothing. I just started choking on my spit, you know, just laying there in bed, just choking on my saliva. Don't worry, I lived, if you're wondering. but my wife was sleeping next to me, and she wakes up, And she's like, what is going on here? This guy's always doing annoying things, you know? And so she tries waking me up, nothing, you know? She tries, like, shaking me, yelling at me, nothing, you know? So, like, she's getting freaked out. So she, like, goes out to the living room, just kind of paces around, like, what's going on here? What is going on here? She goes back in the room, you know, starts yelling at me, shaking me, nothing, nothing, nothing. So she calls 911, and they say, did you roll him onto his side? She's like, one second. Puts down the phone, rolls around to my side. Then I can breathe. That's really good. So she's feeling a little crazy about that. And then she grabs the phone, and then so the ambulance comes, and I thought I remembered some people taking me down the stairs on a stretcher kind of thing into an ambulance, but she told me later, no, they were walking you down the stairs. So apparently I didn't even remember that. So my first memories came to me about sometime in the early morning. I'm laying in a hospital bed, and my wife is sitting next to me with this very quiet, concerned look on her face. And I'm thinking, this is interesting. Why are we here? What is going on? And so I find out that what had previously only been minor issues with my brain, which most people could have told me, but had become now a major issue. And so I left the hospital that day with a medication and with no driver's license. And so that was fun. Or an interesting experience, but the reason I'm sharing this story is because of actually what happened next. Because I started taking these medications, as some of you might know, for my brain, it actually started altering my personality a little bit. It made me a little bit more exuberant, a little more willing to share my opinions, a little more willing to be expressive, shall we say, and more likely to be anxious or emotional or forgetful and that kind of thing. And so, as you might imagine, this actually had a bit of an impact on my marriage. I don't know if anyone else here has ever had that kind of experience. I mean, you started speaking your mind, it didn't go well. Well, that's what started happening. I started being too expressive. But the upside of it is, it actually made me have to deal with what was going on in my mind. So Here's my big issue that I was alluding to initially. The issue that I've been dealing with for a long time is I am very, very, very judgmental. I have been judging people forever. Like, that's just something that just comes, it just seems to be like my biggest issue. Like, I remember years ago, I was going on a walk with a friend, and we're just chatting, whatever. And actually, they were chatting mostly. I was just mostly just being quiet and judging them, right? You know, just do, you know. And then they stop and they say, you know what, Rob? You know what I really like about you? I'm like, what? They're like, you don't judge people. And I didn't know what to say. All I could say was, thanks. And then I remember actually a little bit later, another friend said to me, hey, Rob, what do you struggle with most? And so I was like, okay, I'm going to tell him. I said, with judging people. And then he goes on this tirade of anger, of he's just so disgusted with me about why that's such a terrible thing, why I should not be judging people, right? This goes on and on. And it actually didn't occur to me until a little while ago that what happened was I instantly went from, hey, this is an issue I have in my life, can you help with me, to now I'm judging him. I judged him for judging me for judging people. Yeah, sin has a way of doing that. It just gets messy. So so here's a scripture for this morning. This is the scripture that God used to kind of help me realize what was going on and how I could actually start to stop this, actually start to make advances against this issue in my life, this sin in my life. It's from Luke chapter 6, verses 37 to 42. And I'll read the whole thing, and then we'll work through it. Says, and this is Jesus speaking, do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you'll receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and pouring into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Then Jesus gave the following illustration. Can one blind person lead another? Won't they both fall into a ditch? Students are not greater than their teacher, but the student who is fully trained will become like the teacher. And why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying, friend, help me get that rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite, first get rid of the log in your own eye, then you'll see well enough to see deal with the speck in your friend's eye. I love it how Jesus loves using these metaphors, right? These pictures from everyday life, these things that we can identify with, and these things that are often very hilarious. Like, imagine I'm walking around with this jammed up into my eye, like actually right into my eye cavity, and somehow I have to try to, you know, perform surgery on somebody. You know, like, hold still right there. So, and I'm only looking at the one eye, you know, so I'm one-eyed. Like, okay, hold still right there. I'm gonna work on your eye for you, you know. Here, I got a stick here. I'm gonna try to hit that speck out of your eye. How many of you would trust someone coming at you like this, saying they're gonna help get something out of your eye? Who would trust someone? Anyone? You are a very wise bunch. And Jesus was hoping that you had that intuition to know. That's not a smart idea. So, aha. So Jesus gives us this picture. Like, you got a log in your eye. And so the insight that I'd never seen before, the thing that kind of made this jump out at me, because I'd read this passage many, many times, right? And I'm sure you have too. You know, it's like, oh yeah, I'm judgmental. Oh, I shouldn't do that. That's about the extent of it, right? Like, that's how we deal with sin in our lives, right? We just go, that's about all I do, right? But it gave me something else here. He told me that this speck that's in someone else's eye, it's actually in there in someone else's eye. I won't put it in, don't worry. It's made of the same material as the log. The same stuff. This sin is the same sin. The same issue. The same thing that's blocking me from God is blocking them from God. And somehow that shook me up. It was like, it made me realize that the whole passage all of a sudden made sense. I'll give you a couple of examples, and then I'll walk through how that made sense. So like in my marriage, as I mentioned above, I might have some issues. I might judge my wife, like say my wife does something nice for me, okay? And so let's say that being a complete idiot that I am, I decide I'm going to use that as an opportunity to judge her. And so I judge her that she's being nice to me only so that she can get something from me, right? You know, that she, like, you know, that I'll go and, you know, fix something or clean something or finally, you know, put away my, you know, some dirty stuff or whatever, right? And then if I stop and think about it, I'm judging her, you know, for trying to just, you know, manipulate, get something out of me. But the reality is, if I'm honest before God, the real issue is I'm nice to her only so that I can get something from her, right? Some other guys probably deal with that too, that you do that, and it's an issue. And I realized I've got a log in my eye. I'm being annoyed at her about something so insignificant when I've really got this big issue for me. It's the same thing. And let's say another example. Who wants me to judge them? Anybody? Okay, so Nathan. So let's imagine I come into the church, and I see Nathan, and he's all happy and good-looking, and you know he's got this amazing ministry, you know, whatever. And I might imagine, let's say I judge him for, you know, he's doing this just so that he feels good, that he feels great about his relationship with God, I accomplished this. Not because he actually cares about the people who live in the community. You know, let's say maybe I judge him for that. You know, but I try to find something to judge him for, right? And if I'm honest, if I pause for a second, I can realize, hey, that's actually an issue in my life. That the ministry stuff I do with UCB Radio or with whatever, maybe I'm only doing it so that other people look at me and go, hey, what a guy, you know, great guy, you know, like, what a fantastic fellow there, you know, but really, I might not actually be doing it out of care for the people in our city, out of love for the people in our city. And so then that humbles me before God and says, God, work on me in this. So, and I just judged John for sleeping through my message, but sorry, John, I'll push through that. Okay. So, right on. Okay, I'll keep this more exciting. All right. So this is an idea that's going past the typical don't judge a man until you walk a mile in his shoes. Who's ever heard that one? Don't judge a man until you walk a mile in his shoes. Then you ever heard the next line? Because then he won't see you judging him and you'll have his shoes. Anyone? Yeah, okay. So anyways, this is going past that to saying not only might you do the same thing that they did if you were in their situation, but in fact, if you're judging him, chances are you do the same thing he's doing. You're actually sinning in the same way, and chances are he might not even be doing that. I judge Nathan for something. He might not be doing that at all. He might be completely fine. The reality is these kind of hints at sin, these kind of twigs towards sin, are convictions in our spirit that the devil wants to turn into accusing someone else, judging someone else, looking at sin out there, whereas God's Spirit wants to use it to help us see the sin in here, the sin inside each of us. Let's go back through this now, and you'll see how this kind of makes everything else in this passage pop out, and it can be an incredibly useful tool to you in helping God, into working with God on the work on the sin in your life. So verses 37 and 38, are kind of like the last couple of verses there. If I can. Verse 37 and 38, we're saying, don't judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. So when you see someone else sin, and when you think you're seeing someone else sin, you have two choices. You can judge them and condemn them, or you can forgive them and give to them. Okay? Those are your two choices. You can judge and condemn, or you can forgive and give. All right? So I can forgive John and continue giving him a good message, right? And or I could judge him and condemn him and say, well, forget John. I'm just going to talk to this side of the room now. You know? And so, so there's two different responses that you can deal with. And Jesus gives us this option, saying, hey, which way are you going to go? And so when you choose to judge someone and condemn them, what you're doing is you're putting that person beneath you. You're saying, that person's not as good as me. I'm better than them. God probably loves me more than he loves them. I'm obviously, you know, making a better impression on God. And so I have a right to push them away and to refuse to call them my friend. Right? That's what judging and condemning does. But when you forgive and give, you're choosing to not hold it against them. Forgiving means I am not going to act as though you're a bad person or that you're doing something wrong. I'm not going to hold it against you. I'm going to be willing to come close to you. I'm willing to be your friend. I'm going to be willing to be with you in this struggle because I know that I struggle with the exact same thing as you do. You are my brother and my sister in this struggle because we all deal with the exact same things. No one is beneath me. We're all in this together. So please believe me when I tell you that God is working and working in my heart to make me see every one of you as with me, as my brothers, my sisters. We're all in this together. No one is beneath me. And this is the work that God wants to do in our hearts. Now, you'll notice that neither option does Jesus say, oh, the specs don't matter. The logs don't matter. They just blow it off, you know? Because sometimes that's what we do when we read this passage. Don't judge others. You know, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge. We use that as a thing to say sin doesn't matter. That it's okay to have sin in the world. We'll just leave everyone alone and we'll all just do whatever sins we want. But that's not how Jesus is talking about this. Because sin is us human beings defying our Creator, saying we don't care, God, what you want from our lives. We don't care what you're trying to tell us, how we're supposed to live. We want to cut ourselves off from you. We want to push you away. Even though God is the source of all life, he's the source of all goodness, he's the source of everything that we need and everything we are. So to sin is to, it's really, it's to kill ourselves. It's awful, and it's destroying ourselves, it's destroying everyone. I mean, If you look at this world, what does our world need? Do we need more money? Is that the biggest problem in the world? Like, is it poverty and famine? So, like, if we just had more money, if God just dumped money out of the sky, you know, or maybe food, you know, just dump food out of the sky and warmth and stuff, you know, like, maybe, you know, turn up the temperature on the planet for goodness sakes, you know, and would that solve all our problems? No, we'd still be just as rough, you know, such a terrible mess as we are in now, because there's actually plenty here on Earth for everybody. We just don't know how to share. Or you might think, okay, you know, is the biggest problem in this world, you know, just sicknesses and diseases? So if there was no sicknesses and diseases in the world, would this world be, would everything be fixed? Would everything be better? Like, no. The real issue is that people are rejecting their Creator. Each of us, every moment of the day, are rejecting our Creator. And I'm saying this about me. I'm not just trying to look at a few of you who I think aren't, you know, loving your Creator enough, and I'm going to judge you for that. And this is me. I'm pushing God away. And so what Jesus says, the number one priority for everyone in the world, and the number two priority, and the number three priority, and the number four priority, and the number five priority, and I can keep on going, all the way up to number 99 priority, is to be the sin inside of you yourself. That's to be the issue, the size of a log to you. This is your focus. It's right here. Jesus says, deal with this. This is what Jesus wants to work on in your life. He wants to deal with the log, the issue that's right there in front of you, far more than he's concerned about you going and trying to pick out a speck in someone else's eye. In a way that's like, wow. It's because God actually cares that much. He cares that much about each of us that he wants us to work through those things inside of us. So how do you do it? How do you kind of follow his instructions and get that log out of your eye? How do you kind of, you know, what's the code, you know? Like, how do you get this thing out? I find there's this teacher I listened to long ago called Henry Blackaby, and he had basically four ways that he kept coming back to about how you invite God into your life. He's just leaning. Never mind. He's good. God comes into our lives through the Bible, through prayer, through circumstances, through the church. Church. Here we go. So, Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. So, that helps. Remember that. So, that's how God wants to come into your life. So, the Bible. So, when you're dealing with a sin issue, look up the Bible verses that talk about it. If you want to deal with that log, name it first. So, when you feel yourself judging someone, that's the highlight. That's when you know, ooh, I have a log. So you feel yourself judging someone, like, and it happens, at least for me, it happens like 100 times a second. It's all the time, right? So it doesn't take long. Like, if you're wondering, like, oh God, you know, I'm actually a pretty good person. I don't, no issues really in my life. I'm pretty stellar, really. You know, you're probably really impressed with me. You know, like, maybe that's you. But just pause for a second, look around at some other people, and you'll catch a judgment. It'll come up. You know, Satan's not going to hold off. And when that comes up, identify it. Like, what am I judging them for? What am I labeling them as they did this? What am I thinking they did wrong? Even if you know pretty quickly, like, oh, that's ridiculous. That's okay. Whatever it is, take that as, write that down. That's an issue in my life. And then read scriptures about it. That's Bible. And prayer. Pray about it. Circumstances. Look at how that sin is actually destroying our world. Look at what's actually happening in our world because of that sin, which you yourself, me, myself, am a part of. And finally, the church. Ask for those three things from other Christians. Ask for other Christians to be showing you scriptures, praying for you, and talking to you about how that sin has destroyed people's lives, which is what my friend years ago was trying to do for me about judging people. He was trying to do that for me, but I instantly turned it around to judging him again. And so you can deal with that in your life. And once you've dealt with that in your life, Jesus says, first, get rid of the log in your own eye. Then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Once you work on that log in your own eye, guess what? You're now actually able to help your friend. Before, all you could have done was smack them, make them feel bad about it. That's about it. You wouldn't actually be able to help them. Because there's something that happens to you when you deal with your own log. You realize how difficult it is to get that log out of your eye. You have to wrestle with it for a long time. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. It's just, you got to work at it, right? To get that issue out of your life. And so then when you go to help someone else with their issue, you just go up to them, smack them, and walk away? I hope not. But what you can do now is something starts stirring in you. And this is something that that we're told about where's page 6? No, over here. Yes, there's page 6. Yay. So what happens here is from 1 Peter 3:15-16, where Peter's talking about doing this kind of thing with someone. And what he says, if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Okay? So we might take this as, if you see someone with the sin of unbelief in their life, which you might say is a pretty big sin, you know, just God's given us lots of reasons to trust Him and to believe in Him. But if you're not believing Him, you know, we could just go up to Him and say, hey, it's obvious that God loves you. What's wrong with you? Smack and walk away, right? That might not be the best evangelism strategy. And Peter continues to explain what actually needs to happen. He says, but do this in a gentle and respectful way. When you wrestle with the issues in your own heart, you learn how to deal with them in a gentle and respectful way with others. When I learn to deal with my own issues of unbelief, because if I look at the world and say, the problem is there's so many people who don't believe in Jesus, you know? I look at myself and say, how well do I believe in Jesus? How much evidence has God given me? I have 2 Bible college degrees. I'm an ordained minister. I've grown up in the church, and I struggle with unbelief. I struggle to know confidently day by day that God is with me, God loves me, and that I can just trust Him and follow Him. I struggle with it. That's my log. I have a log of unbelief in my eye. How dare I point at the rest of the world and say, their problem is that they struggle with unbelief. Like, yeah, okay, deal with your log first, buddy. And so I deal with my log. I find out. I read the scriptures about unbelief. I ask people to pray for me about unbelief. I look at what the result is in this world of people not believing that they have a God that they have to report to. And this results in me working on getting that log out of my eye. And once I have it kind of working on it, getting out of my eye, I'm able to then with gentleness and respect help others with unbelief. I'm like, hey, I struggle with that too. This is what's helped me. I read this. I looked at this. I helped this. I prayed. You know, can I pray for you? And we'll conclude today in a minute. I know it's getting long, but we'll conclude in a minute. And I will pray for you as well if that is something that you wish prayer for God to work on believing, on faith in your heart. But this is what God wants for us. So what do you think? Might this be one of the reasons why sin is so rampant in our world? Because even those who call themselves Christians aren't really dealing with the sins in their own life and overcoming them so that they can actually, with gentleness and respect, help others? It seems like Jesus might be suggesting this, that we need to be looking in that direction. And Jesus lays this on heavy. He says, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. However much you learn to forgive and give instead of judge and condemn will determine how much God forgives and gives to you versus judging and condemning you. And I need to hear this for myself. How much I choose to just forgive people, not hold anything against them, and to give them love, to be willing to get too close to them so that I will likely get hurt. That's giving. If you only get close enough that you have fun, that's not giving. Get close enough that you're likely to get hurt. You need to trust people more than you probably should. You need to cross that line. Like you know that saying, hurt me once, shame on you. Hurt me twice, shame on me. That is from the devil. hurt me twice, hurt me three times. By the grace of God, I will let you hurt me four times. That's forgiveness. It's getting too close. It's not, now hear me, if you're in an abusive relationship somewhere, you don't run headlong into it. Like, you just get a little bit closer, you know, and then, but you know, just it's just a little bit closer. Trust a little bit too much, because then you inspire people to keep growing in their trust, in their confidence. So instead of judging people, I need to trust that God is doing his own thing in each person in his own time, even my wife. And I need to affirm that each person is working in their relationship with God. And I can know that as God allows me to grow closer to people because I'm not judging them, that they will trust me and I will have learned to have the gentleness and respect to help them overcome the sin in their lives. Now God, toward us, he chooses not to judge and condemn us. He chooses to forgive us and give us life. And for God, he does it even though he doesn't struggle with sin. He became one of us in Jesus Christ and still did not sin. He was tempted in every way like we are, but he didn't sin. And yet, even so, he chooses to forgive us. And not because he says, well, hey, I get it. I struggled that way too. I sinned a whole bunch too. I did all those things too. I understand. That's not why he's saying it. That's the thing that we can use to help us be sympathetic with each other, which is wonderful that God gave that to us. But he himself, he does it simply because he is love. That's his, not just his nature, but his identity. It pours out of him. So he loves and he wants to love you. And he wants to pour his love through you into all the people in your life, all the people that the devil would rather we just simply judge and condemn. So let's pray together today that our hearts will be open to God loving us and loving through us the people in our lives. God, we thank you so much that you love us, that you see us all walking around with logs in our eyes, bonking into each other, judging each other, and you shake your head and you say, can't you guys get it? You all struggle with this. Why are you judging each other for it? When you judge each other, you're just judging yourself. So God, we pray that we would have your wisdom to know how not to judge each other, but how to forgive each other, just as you have forgiven us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.